You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I've said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there. I have a couple of returning guests, which is no surprise. I like to bring on guests, as I say, a little smarter than me in the various areas. And this morning, for this morning's discussion question, before I let the cat out the bag, let me introduce both of our, again, esteemed returning guests. We're going to start with the Queen, Marilyn Adwili. How you doing, Queen? Thank you for being with us. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you on. If you will, Queen, go ahead and give them a little bit of your background before we give them the discussion question. If you are a first-time listener, we do our show in the form of a question. But again, before we let the cat out the bag, go ahead and tell them who you are.
I'm Marilyn Adwili. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I'm also a motherhood and family coach. I work primarily with black mothers and their families, supporting them just in making the most out of their journey and creating a functional family life, a happy one too.
No, absolutely. You are definitely the perfect person for today's show. Returning guest, longtime listener, Sean Hyman. How you doing, King? From It's Scary to Remarry podcast, if you will. Say hello to my intellectual outcast, which you are, again, you are one of those. But if you will, let them know who you are. And thank you for being with us this morning, King.
Yes, thanks again, Montoya. I appreciate it for the opportunity. I'm Sean Hyman. I'm the founder of It's Scary to Remarry, where we want you to love fearlessly, where I help you heal after heartbreak and find again. I'm a husband, father, blogger, YouTuber, content creator, all that good stuff. So I'm excited about today's show.
No, absolutely. You're actually the catalyst for today's show, if you will, to a degree. It was a particular cut that we'll be playing a little later that had you comment on it. And I was like, hey, let's turn this into the show. And come to find out, you've already dealt with this to a degree on It's Scary to Remarry, but we'll obviously tell them how to tune in to the amazing stuff you're doing with that show as well. But without further ado, we'll go ahead and let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion question. Do wives see sex as a chore? Do wives see sex as a chore? I think it's a long-standing idea that's been around for a long time, but again, it popped up because of something on social media, and I saw you ask your people that question. I said, Sean, man, let's jump on the show and do this together, and so glad to have you on. But we're going to start with the Queen. Marilyn, you've done this before, if you will. When I reached out to you and said, hey, join us for the show, what was your first initial thought when you heard the discussion question worded that particular way?
I thought this was going to be good. You know, this is a really important discussion to have. So I was excited about being a part of it.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm curious as far as, like I said, some of the work you do with Black mothers in particular. I'm curious if it doesn't even come up. You know, I don't know how far you go with some of the stuff, but I'm definitely curious about that. Sean, again, you actually asked your people that question. I was like, well, I'm going to steal that question and use it for my show, again, not knowing at the time that you had already dealt with it. But when you put the question up yourself, what were you thinking, if you will, just the initial thought? Obviously, again, we're going to play the cut from Dana Chanel, if you will, that led you to even repost it, if you will. But what was your initial thought, even in posting it on your page? That's a kind of a slightly different take because, you was promoting it on your page, if you will.
Yeah, I said it's a topic that needs to be discussed. Let's pull the cat out the bag, you know, because I know a lot of times, you know, single people like to talk about how much sex they having and stuff. So I'm like, well, why can't us married folks brag about how much sex we getting? If we should be getting it, you know, so I said, let's talk about it.
Nah, I love it. I like how you say that too. Brag about it, right? Brag about it. Cause I'll tell you, I'll just go into this just slightly before we even get to the first break. Definitely when I was a young man, definitely was a bragging, right? A bragging about, you know, not only how good I was, but sometimes to the degree, I guess sometimes, how much. I wasn't necessarily the type to tell everybody who I was dealing with, if you will. But at the same time, like you said, every song out there is a lot of single people bragging, right? You made me think of Steve Harvey who say, hey, hip hop, don't talk about love anymore. So typically, when you hear the song on the radio, it's usually clearly some single people doing their thing because we'd have lost the love songs where. You know what I mean? You my wife. I want to love you for life. We'd have lost that kind of stuff out there, you know, in the music scene anyway. But so, yeah, that's funny that you say brag about it. But I'll tell you, in my lifetime, when I was younger, in my 20s, I would hear married couples talk about how much they didn't have sex. And when I run into couples who brag about having a lot of sex, they were, at least, like you say, talking about it at least. They were the anomaly. So I didn't hear a lot of couples bragging. And when I did, I loved it. But I would hear more people talk about how little sex they was having. So it's funny to hear you say you want to brag. So we've got a couple of minutes before break. If you want to just kind of jump in on that, we'll get to Marilyn's thoughts on that as well. Like I say, in my lifetime, I think I've heard less bragging amongst married people than more. And again, I loved it when I did hear it. So any thoughts on that, King?
Yeah, I just think it's something that we need to discuss out in public because obviously we assume that when you marry that you having sex or you have kids. We assume that. But a lot of times it's something that you don't know what really goes on behind closed doors, you know. The national average says most married couples only having sex one day a week. But we'll talk about that in detail as the show goes on.
Nah, absolutely. Marilyn, if you will, any quick thoughts? In reference to, you know, again, when I've, as the long time, never been married, you know, you and Sean both are married, if you will. I think both have remarried, if you will. So I don't know if, you know, we'll get into maybe if it was the same in, you know, both marriages, if you will. But if you will, Queen, any thoughts just about how I've heard it out here as a single man most of my life, not hearing a lot of good things, but loving it a few times. But when I hear about a couple having a lot of sex or enjoying sex, that's always somewhat of an anomaly, unfortunately, for me as a single person. Any thoughts on that, Queen?
I agree. I see that quite a bit. I think it's a sign of a lot of disconnect and other things that kind of ail us along the way. But definitely, I think that it's an important piece in our marriages that we need to be taken really good care of.
Nah, I love it. So, yeah, with that said, we're going to go to break. We'll get the phone lines open up and let people give us their 3 cents. If you are a first-time listener, that's what we like to, you know, with the Intellectual Outcast. We have the smartest audience in all of radio. So when y'all call in, we want to hear your 3 cents on this morning's discussion as well. This morning's discussion question, do wives see sex as a chore? We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll get hot and heavy into this morning's discussion. All I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
Hey, Smirnoff, where you find that Prince Sign of the Times on vinyl at? Real talk, you got a dope vinyl collection. What, you been collecting them like over the years or something?
No, actually, I just started my collection. But my man Tobago over at DBS Sounds, he be hooking me up. You remember DBS Sounds?
On the south side? They still around? I figured most of the record stores in Atlanta be closed by now.
Hey, vinyl is the new wave, and DBS Sounds got the best collection in town. You can still go there and flip through vinyl. They still got CDs and mixtapes, too. Let me check their IG page at DBS Sounds ATL. They still be having artists in stores and everything. Hey, you want to run by there?
Hey, man, I ain't got time right now. I got to go back to Cali tomorrow, but I might have to catch them next time I'm in.
Oh, nah, you good. Even when you get home, you can just shop at their online store at dbssounds.com. They'll ship directly to you anywhere in the country. Matter of fact, jump on dbssounds.com on your phone and order straight from there.
Word? Hey, I'm about to get my music game up. Hey, what's their address in case I get a chance to swing by there? I'm going to pick up that new Kendrick Lamar CD.
Oh, they at 6604 Highway 85, Riverdale, Georgia.
Bet.
I think that sex is a duty in marriage, and people were like, did not agree at all. No, I think it's a duty as a wife. That's what you're supposed to do. My mom told me, I asked her, her and my dad have been married like 30 years almost, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And I asked her, and she was like, I just say yes. That's why I have so many siblings.
But it's, but the thing is, as a man, generally, you don't want to know a woman's not enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not,
do you know what I mean? Like,
I get
you
what
don't
you're saying.
Know that I'm not enjoying it.
I get what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with it entirely. I do to a certain extent. I just wouldn't, I don't think I'd be turned on by a woman who's having sex with you because she feels it's her duty.
Yeah.
I want that desire to be reciprocated.
Yeah.
And if it's not reciprocated, I'd rather not participate.
Yeah.
Personally.
How often
yeah.
do you think
how often
couples should have sex?
Depends how old they
it,
are.
I think it depends on your relationship.
Yeah, it depends on the relationship and
at least
the
once a week,
I think.
Minimum.
Yeah, at least once a week. Yeah, yeah.
You
gotta get at least once a week.
I think that that's one of the reasons people cheat sometimes is because the wife is like holding out.
Mm.
Have you heard that?
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. Like when you said guys are either monogamous or not monogamous, I was thinking earlier that I think sometimes like men cheat because of like the position they're sort of put in. Like the girl like won't sleep with them, hasn't slept with them in months. What do you think's gonna happen?
I would say if a woman's not sleeping with you, you should sleep with. Because women like sex too.
Yeah.
Like people act like only guys like sex.
Yeah.
It's very true.
So if she's not sleeping with you, who's she sleeping with? You might have to ask yourself that question. She might be getting it from elsewhere, bro.
Very true, very true.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Special guest, Marilyn Arduini, as well as Sean Hyman. This morning's discussion question, do wives see sex as a chore? Marilyn, we're going to start with you as you hear that cut. Any thoughts provoked? I think it's a nice segue into this morning's discussion. To the caller out there, we'll get to you in a little bit and hear from our guests before we open up the phone lines. Go ahead, Queen.
Well, I definitely will say something more, excuse me, if my throat got a little scratchy, but I'll say first of all that I think we definitely give that word chore a very negative connotation. It carries a connotation of being like a burden, you know, and I think, you know, that may be part of how what the definition has become, but in reality, a chore really equals a responsibility, you know, and in marriage between the husband and the wife, sex is a responsibility. It's something that we should be doing. It's something that keeps our marriage alive. It keeps our identity and our connection alive. So, and responsibilities can be great if you make them great. So while I think that, yes,
a lot of women, a lot of wives look at sex as a chore from that negative viewpoint, it actually should be something that we all see as a responsibility and take it for what it is and make the most of it so that we can have healthy, happy marriages. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, the lady said sex is a duty. And just kind of in being reminded of that, I feel like I'm, to a degree, not necessarily grew up with the word duty, but I feel like conceptually that was out there historically. I don't think we hear it as much today, but yeah, absolutely. Switching it from chore to responsibility definitely sounds like the segue we could use, and I think that makes a lot of sense. So absolutely. Sean, your thoughts to the cut that you just heard or anything that Marilyn just had to say?
Yes, I totally agree with me. I think it's about the verbiage that we use as far as the responsibility. Like, when you marry, this is something that you sign up for. I just think the only issue with it is there was a time, and I guess I'm dating myself, you know, people got married so they could have sex, you know, that whole kind of thing. But now it's kind of like open season for everybody. So sex is just kind of like a pastime for most people, something like we should just do. So when we get married, now we got kids and bills and all these responsibilities, it's like now we got to try to find time to have sex, you know, opposed to when you were single, you know, you just made a call.
Nah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I definitely got some thought, yeah, about, like you said, it's a different era, but let's go to the caller before I give my thoughts on that as well. We got area code 404, last 3419. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you very much. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing? We can hear you. What's your name? Where you calling
from? All right. Yeah, this is Frank. Okay. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, what's up, King? What you got for us this morning?
Frank. Yes. Very great topic. I've been doing a lot of studying about this, and as an African, I was born in Ghana, and I've been talking a lot about this particular topic. You know, culturally, our girls in Africa are raised to think that sex is a bad thing. You know, in the beginning, just to prevent promiscuous lifestyle. So I've heard young girls say that. Even some of the women scare their girls to tell them it's a sin to have sex. So trying to control that appetite from a young group in the beginning, when they grow up and marry, that freedom, that, you know, freedom to be able to relax, to have sex, is still a thing in the African community. When most African men, I would say most African men that are married to African women are still having affairs outside with other cultures that expresses their sexuality more. So it's a problem, right? Well, as I become an adult, I'm in my 40s, and now as sex is such an important thing to me, when I meet somebody that I'm interested in, I bring this topic up. I've actually dated somebody for 9 months without having sex, because I wanted to know where her head is when it comes to sex. Sex is very important to me. The whole, one of the videos that you posted, the young lady said that, I have to come and make sure that I meet my husband's needs. No, sex in our relationship is not my need. If it's not your need also, I don't want to have sex with you. So at this point, I've been very selective about who I have sex with, because making this whole sex thing that you're doing me a favor is a no-no. And I realized that I have actually not had sex with a lot of women that I'm interested in because of how they look at it. You know, so this is a very important topic. And to me, like I said, different cultures have different ways of looking at it and how they are raising their girls. But if I can speak from the African community, the African girl thinks sex is a sin. And even when they get married, they can really, like, relax and really do it with their husbands. They still feel like it's something that you're doing for the husband and not for them. But at this point, if you don't want to have sex, if you don't feel like it, I don't want to have sex with you. So it's a problem. I don't know if I have the solution, but I'm just trying to identify something in my community that, yes, sex is a burden, sex is like, you know, something that you're doing it for the husband and not for themselves. I'll see some of more of my comments for later.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, we'll get you back in. So come off the one, and then you can come back on the one if you want to jump back in. So when I let you go,
sure,
and then you can come back in. Frank brings an interesting topic. You know, we specialize in doing hard conversations on race, sex, and culture. And what Frank brings is something that we've talked about just even in general. There's even a concept, especially in the past, I think Frank is highlighting how much is said in the African culture even to this day. But there's definitely, I would say, older women in American culture that have went through that very same thought process because of what they were told about sex, that it plays a huge role in how they see sex in their marriage. So that's come up on the show before. But Marilyn, again, as our queen, let you kind of jump in and give us your thoughts. You know, you're a cognitive behavior therapist, to highlight that for anybody tuning in. So I'm pretty sure you have some deep perspectives about even that mindset, no matter where you're from, not just even in the African culture. If you're still being told sex is a bad thing, sometimes you can't process that. And so maybe sex in the marriage, to allude to something that Frank said, is bad to the point where, you know, as he mentioned in his culture, maybe there are a lot of affairs outside. But that's something that I heard even in American culture, but maybe more in the past than now. But your thoughts, Queen?
I think he makes an excellent point. Also, me being, you know, Nigerian myself and raised within, you know, that same culture and that mindset, it's true in a lot of ways. There are, and even today, there are plenty of young women being raised either with a negative mentality towards sex, about it not really being for them as much as it is for their husbands. And as Frank mentioned, a lot of places, you know, within the African community, it's not, you know, a blanket statement, of course, but there are a lot of places within the African community where it is taught as being, you know, something that is bad to do. And even if it's hard to turn off that mindset, it's hard to turn off, you know, that feeling once you get into the marriage, that it's something bad, it's something dirty, you know. It's hard to avoid it for all of those reasons, all of your life, and then finally get married and now believe that it's something that you should be doing. So I do see that to an extent. And there are also women who have levels of trauma around sex before marriage. And so once they're married, you know, all the things that they did to protect themselves before they're married, they are still have those guards up, and it's hard for them to really let it down. And that's a lot of work that has to be done, because not only is there that mindset that exists within our community, also a lot of trauma exists within our community, sadly. You know, a huge number of women, particularly in our community, are victims of some kind of, you know, sexual assault or just various types of sexual abuse and sexual assault early in life. A huge number. It's really, I forget the specifics. I can get that for you later, but I can't pull it up. But a huge number of women in our community are sexually abused, sexually assaulted early in life, and they take a lot of that trauma into their relationships. A lot of times the promiscuity that you even see prior to marriage are responses to that trauma of sexual abuse and assault. So it's hard to kind of turn that off once you are married and be able to feel like you're now in a safe and loving space to be able to express yourself sexually in a healthy way with your husband. So I definitely agree with that point, and, you know, definitely have some things to share in terms of being able to heal and move forward within the marriage relationship sexually.
No, it makes sense, and I can remember we did a show some years ago where that same thing came up. I think we were just talking about sex from the woman's perspective, and then we did a show, sex from the man's perspective. And I remember on the ladies' show, actually my old co-host Christy, she hosted it, and I remember that what you just brought up was said on that show, and I had never thought about it. This was probably about 4 years ago now, and maybe five, but either way, I never thought about it until I heard the ladies talking about it, and I was like, wow, how many boyfriends, unfortunately, because we are in an era where boyfriend and girlfriends absolutely do their thing, right, in America or whatever, but I was like, how many boyfriends and husbands are dealing with some form of trauma with their wife that becomes a wife views as such a young person, she's never really talked mm-hmm. about it or never shared it. So that's not the thing that she's openly sharing, even with her boyfriend or even her husband. And those things mm-hmm. are playing a role in what she will or won't do that frustrates him in the bedroom. And even she's not consciously aware of why she no longer wants to do a certain thing that he's asking. So definitely it was like mind blowing as a man that's, you know, never been abused or whatever. It never crossed my mind until I heard the ladies on this show years ago talking about it. It was so mind blowing. I was actually, my son, you want to say something else before I let Sean jump in? Marilyn, did you want to respond to something before I let Sean in?
I'm agreeing with you, absolutely. I'm sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm listening, because what you said about trauma is so important. I'm so glad you're speaking on it, so go ahead, I'm listening to you.
My thoughts on that are just, and not just my thoughts, my experience is that what you said is absolutely true. There are, I mentioned earlier that even the promiscuity that, you know, we mm-hmm. see, that is a big part of the response to the trauma. So once a woman has, there's a lot of things that women have been exposed to, sometimes they'll do in relationships that cause them a lot of harm emotionally, you know, through sex. And then once they get into their marriage, because of the connotation, because of the trauma that's around that, certain types of sexual activities and things that a husband may want and desire in marriage, they now see it as something dirty. They now see it as something that they can't do with their husband, you know. And again, like you mentioned, they may not consciously even be aware of it, of that that's their block and being able to be free within their marriage. But it's a big, big deal. And the fact that so many of our women experience this and early life, it can also be a huge explanation for why we have the challenges that we do. And some of what I want to share later on about, you know, overcoming some of these has a lot to do with how our husbands can help with counteracting and that process of healing.
No, I love that. Let me say this real quick, Shad. I want to hear your thoughts. But when just listen to you talk about that, Marilyn, here's the flip side. The flip side, I'm very aware of this, where even men, just by how they're socialized about sex, I don't think we see this as much now because, again, we're, in a sense, an openly sexual society, clearly at this point. But I can remember as a younger man and even having a couple friends who are married now, hearing this kind of stuff, you know, just this thought process with them. But even men being socialized or what a wife does versus, in a sense, the people they've been dealing with does. And I've even seen men that part of the reason that they even are stepping out is because there's certain things they won't even do with their wives. They only reserve mm-hmm. for people that they step out of. And I've seen men do it, like, with my girlfriend, I don't do this, but I step out so mm-hmm. I can get this one quirk that I won't even, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because I want to.
And there's a term for that.
Yeah, go ahead, Quinn.
There's the whore Madonna complex, and that basically is that where men are able to, the women that they, you know, let's say value enough to marry and have that regard and respect for, they can't do certain things with, and they feel like they need to reserve certain behaviors, sexual behaviors, only for the women who they consider as, you know, well, the term is whore Madonna complex. So the women who they are just sleeping around with or who they see as being, who they feel like they can degrade to a certain level. It's not always that extreme, but the women who they feel like they can just go out there and do anything with is who they reserve that kind of behavior for. Even though they enjoy it, they don't feel like they can do it with their wives. And so sometimes you'll see men who are in a relationship with a woman that they love and respect, but they'll still step out because they feel like they desire that activity, but they can't do it with their wives.
Yeah, like I can imagine doing that with the mother of my children. I only left you about a minute, Sean, and we'll go to a break, and we're gonna play that cut from Dana Chanel that kicked off this whole thing. But if you can give me a quick thought, and then we're gonna go to break.
Yeah, I totally agree with Marilyn about the Madonna horror complex. But I think some of that comes from us not knowing our value as men too. I think a lot of times we've been We have the whole mindset of, you know, women being better than men kind of thing, like, you know, my better half, you know, stuff like that. But as men, we have value too. So I think a lot of times we put, and hear me when I say this, we put our women so high on the pedestal that we can't see them as almost being human to a degree. So it's like, of course I'm not going to do this to my wife because so a lot of times with men, we almost automatically know, you know, people tell us about how bad we are and how promiscuous we are and all these other things. So I don't think we look at each other on a level field. That's why a lot of times if a woman say, I slept around with a lot of men, we look at them as, oh my God, like really? But she's human just like we are. So I don't think we put each other on a even playing field. So I think that's why we had a Madonna whore complex, because we don't look at our wives as almost being human like we are.
Oh, wow. Great thoughts, great thoughts. For the callers out there, if you want to get in, you do have to press 1. If you're online listening, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, 646-787-1691. You will have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Do you need marketing designed specifically to compete in today's digital age? Well, look no further than Emoreg Digital Business Solutions, a marketing agency that's well-equipped to provide solutions to the challenges faced by businesses looking to acquire and retain customers in today's ultra-competitive marketing world. Whether it's video creation, website or logo design, mobile app development, social media and email marketing, or e-commerce design and development, Emoreg Digital Business Solutions has the answer. Visit them at emoregdbs.com. That's EmoregDBS.com, or call 864-221-3632. That's 864-221-3632. Emoreg Digital Business Solutions. We're the solution to your marketing challenges.
And I mean never use sex as a weapon against your husband. And have sex often is probably some of the most extraordinary advice I never got. As a working mom, we get tired, exhausted, overwhelmed. But it is dangerous to neglect our husband's needs. And I'll explain to you why. Sex is such a huge part of a man's identity. It's the way he emotionally bonds with us. And it's crazy because God wired his body this way. When a man experiences an orgasm, his body releases the bonding hormone, oxytocin, in such extraordinary amounts. I mean, women experience it as well, but men do 400% times more. And so that skin-to-skin contact mixed with an orgasm creates deep connection. And I never just want to be a great mom. I never just want to be killing it in the workplace. But I desired for my husband to find me to be a good lover. Look forward to coming home to me. And through difficult conversations, because I was never taught this kind of stuff, I had to learn how to not look at sex as a chore or another responsibility on my to-do list, but enjoy my husband feeling respected and honored and wanted. Imagine if one day our husband came home and said, I don't feel like having sex with you. We would be massively offended and hurt. And so men need sex. It's how they came from the factory.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Again, I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, special guest, Marilyn Arduini, as well as Sean Hindman. As we hear a cut from Dana Chanel, social media influencer. This is the cut that, in a sense, led to us doing this show, and Sean posted it on his social media. I would like to point out in that cut, just to clarify some of the science, if you will, there's not a whole lot of studies on this. She's absolutely incorrect about the oxytocin men releasing more. The latest study about maybe 2019, that women release more, if you will, during sex. That's the only time that you release oxytocin or whatever, but it's known as the love hormone or the bonding hormone, the bonding hormone. And so she has that scientifically incorrect, just to highlight that. Don't want to harp on it, but we like to provide clarity because, you know, I used to call y'all truth seekers out there, so I can't just give y'all some information that's incorrect. But Sean, since you decided to post that cut and asked this morning's very question, do wives see sex as a chore? I would love to hear your thoughts from Dana, you know, from what you think about what Dana Chanel, social media influencer, had to say. Go ahead, Kim. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of it, I'm very familiar with her and her husband, so they come from a very biblical background. So I think that sometimes that's where people miss it. So they're speaking in biblical terms about the whole thing with sex and, you know, submitting yourself one to another and all those other things. So sex as a chore, from what I hear from women and being married, a lot of times wives say they don't mind busting it open. They don't mind doing this. It's just a matter of you helping them at home. It's like, can you help me with the kids? Can you help me with the bills? Can you help me with chores? A lot of times, I think when men bring home their checks, they thinking that that's it. All I have to do is bring home my check. Mm-hmm. You do the rest. But both of us work, so we both have to pull the weight. So if I'm working and she's working, not only am I going to bring her my check, but I have to help with the kids. I have to wash dishes. I have to fold clothes. And even outsourcing some of your services. If you don't have time to cut the grass, pay somebody. If you don't have time to cook, pay somebody. You know, those kind of things. People like to brag about them making the six figures and all this other stuff. But it's like, well, take some of that money and invest it in your household so she can have some time to have sex with you because she's tired. Last thing she's thinking about is sex is after she done dealt with the kids and homework and work and all. She got to be superwoman. She ain't thinking about sex at the end of the night.
No, I love those thoughts. Marilyn, for anybody that may just be tuning in, if you will, highlight your background and what you do with mothers just before you even go into these comments, because I want people that just maybe just tuned in to understand what your thoughts are coming from, not only your personal experience, but you actually deal with this from a professional experience as well. So just kind of highlight that before you kind of give us your thoughts on that cut.
Absolutely. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. My work is focused on, I'm a motherhood and family coach. I work primarily with Black women, and I support them in having a balanced and functional family life, which includes their marriages.
No, absolutely. What are your thoughts when you hear that cut from a Dana Chanel?
I agree with her a huge amount. I think that along the lines of what I was saying earlier is that we can't look at it from a negative connotation of it just being a chore and some kind of burden or something that you just have to do. But listening to Sean, he is also, you know, very much correct that in order for women to be able to have the space to be in the mood to have, you know, sex on a regular basis, there's got to be some balance. You know, a lot of times women are just exhausted. You know, there is a lot of inability for our husbands sometimes to read the room, you know, and that's something that I say a lot is that when you walk in the door and she's got, you know, babies hanging off of her and, you know, she's got housework piling up, there's homework and there's so many other things. And, you know, God forbid she's also, you know, holding down a full-time job the same as you. You bringing in your paycheck is just not enough, you know, especially for like a breastfeeding mom. It's possible a lot of mothers are just touched out. They don't want anybody else to touch them that day because they've had kids and babies and everybody else touching them and wanting their attention all day long, you know. And it's really important not only to be a supportive part of the household, whatever that means for your household, you know, and having that understanding too, I think is a big part of the disconnect. Is I've spoken before with you and on the show about even before marriage, you know, having a clear understanding and agreement about what these things mean for us, you know, and what the support actually looks like, and being able to revisit that regularly to make sure that we're on the same page, you know. So being able to be a true support system for her, for each other within the household. But then I think a lot of times one of the biggest deals that I hear about is just that sometimes the only time that you know, a husband is, you know, wanting to hug and kiss and do all these other things is when it's time to have sex, you know, and they're wanting to get some. And non-sexual touch is so important. Don't make it that the only time you're trying to, because that can be so downright irritating, you know, when already, you know, she's kind of just full and, you know, overstimulated for the day. But, you know, there has to be times when a husband's touch is one that's just for comfort. That's just for intimacy. That has nothing to do with sex. That has to be, you know, 99.9% of the day before, you know, he makes the move to try to have sex. And sometimes, you know, he doesn't always have to make the move. If she's well supported and feeling, you know, really loved outside of sex, because I can tell you, women, with or without trauma that we discussed earlier, can really feel like sexual objects, you know, in society and within the marriage. So, you know, feeling kind of objectified in that way does not make you want to, especially, you know, I'll go back to it, but even without the trauma, but especially if somebody has some kind of trauma around sex, you know, feeling objectified within your marriage,
ooh,
that should be a space where you don't feel objectified, you know, where, you know, especially black
people, right,
you walk around in society and that's all that, you know, that's all that is relevant about you, you know, but within your marriage, you should want to feel valued beyond just the sex, you know? And so
wow,
being able to have that intimacy with your husband and be touched and be loved and hugged and kissed, and it's not just as a ploy to lead to sex. That's what it feels like, you know, for a woman a lot. It's like, okay, he wants something, and now all of a sudden he wants to touch me, now all of a sudden he wants to kiss, you know? You've got to make, you know, really, really change that whole entire paradigm, you know? And, again, like I said, reading the room, you know, you come in and you see that there's a need there. You see that she's overwhelmed and everything else, and she's had a long day. And then at the end of the night, you want to ask for sex. And that's the last thing on her mind. And she actually, you know, could really just be a trigger for her, you know, you even looking for that at that point. And so that's just some of the experiences and thoughts that I have around that.
Now, that's a lot you said there, and I never thought about the idea of being objectified even within your marriage. For the callers out there, if you're a first-time caller, I hope you're listening. You have to press 1 if you want to get in on this morning's discussion. I see y'all out there. If you're just listening via the phone, no problem. If you're online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, 646-787-1691. A lot. Wow, that's a lot to, you know, to think about. And so, real quick, to get back into the science very briefly before we go to our next break, there's this concept that I think sometimes we don't like to talk about enough in society. I don't know if it's not we don't like to talk about it. I don't know if it's clarified enough, even from a scientific standpoint, right? And it's this concept that men and women are not the same to a degree when it comes to sex. I agree with Sean, and it's undeniable that women love sex, like even one of the cuts said, just as much as men. So that's in a sense a non-issue. But there is, in a sense, different scientific effects when it comes to this oxytocin. As I clarified, Dana had the information in a sense backwards, but I've heard that information used in a way that sometimes seems detrimental to women. And I just want to share another perspective on some of the latest information. At the end of the day, science is really still studying oxytocin, if you will, the love hormone. From what I could tell in my research, maybe kind of discovered maybe around 2013, and so they're still doing studies. There haven't been a lot of comprehensive studies, but the larger ones. Here's just some information that I thought I would share, because there is this concept that men and women are different about sex. I personally think that's factual to a degree, but a lot of it we're socialized to think. So just to, again, even kind of points to what Marilyn talked about the touching other than just for wanting sex. And so here's some comments specifically about oxytocin. See the doctor's name. I can't see the name right now. But it says, when you first become intimate, you're releasing a lot of dopamine and oxytocin. That's creating a link between the neural systems that are processing your facial cues, your voice, and the reward system of a partner's brain, said Larry Young, a professor of psychiatry at Emory University in Atlanta. He studies the role of oxytocin in social bonding. So that's the guy that's saying all of this stuff. He says, as time goes on, couples become less intimate. Young noted that linkage can de- that linkage can decay, but activities that release oxytocin, such as really looking into one another's into another person's eyes, holding hands, kissing, and having sex may restore the connection. To me, it suggests that there may be a way to help prevent the decay that can occur that leads couples to separate, he said. Herleman agreed, which is another doctor, says, I think this is the only reason that we do hug and touch each other all the time. I think this is the mechanism that keeps oxytocin levels high in relationships. So for anything of all you may have heard about oxytocin and women release it, and that's why they bond to men, because that's how I've, in a sense, learned it. The reality is there's all of these times in which men and women, humans, release oxytocin, and the bonding can play a huge role in the relationship. See how much time we got before break. Actually, we're running up on break right now, so we're going to run right into a break again for the callers. I see y'all jumping in. You do have to press 1. I hope you're hearing me clearly on that. Press 1 if you want to get into the discussion. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Online, 646-787-1691 is how you get in on this morning's discussion. We'll be right back.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. I'd like to acknowledge LNG, one of our longtime sponsors. They are now a black-level member. Again, for the callers out there, I see y'all out there. A lot of new callers missed this. You do have to press 1 if you're trying to give us your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. Marilyn and Sean, I don't know if you got a chance to see the email I sent you. I forgot to text you this morning. But I want to share a piece from my upcoming book, Reeducation of the Negro, where I write these commentaries that, in a sense, create dialogue. So we're going to use both of you kind of as a sample test to what my book is for. Again, it's just commentary to invoke and create dialogue. And so I'm going to share this piece, again, from my upcoming book, Reeducation of the Negro. And this piece is called Black Socrates Speaks, Sex, Infidelity, and Marriage. And if you haven't, either of you haven't had a chance to look at it, it definitely fits into this morning's discussion. So if y'all listen closely, definitely want to hear your thoughts. And Marilyn, we'll start with you coming up when I finish this. All right, this was written back in November 2015. Sex secret for married women from a single man. Mothers, teach your daughters that if they get their husband off every day, he's less likely to get off elsewhere, and that's real. I know this will make plenty of queens upset, but notice no men will read this and disagree. The key to this secret is the everyday part. So please, no stories about how your previous husband would sleep with you and his mistress on the same day. Yes, that happens, but again, the special sauce to this secret is entertaining the marriage and never creating the habit of skipping sex. Some men do not want it every day, lucky you. But when he does, make it happen. Before marriage, my best friend's father told her, baby, if you're not going to give him none, you might as well become a nun. All the men in agreement, please state aye. Ladies, the ayes have it. Plenty of women will argue their husbands are okay with sex once or twice a week, or they should be happy with that. The truth is, he hated going from the daily sex you had before marriage, but had to accept less after you became the mother of his children. Truth be told, when you first started refusing him, you could have just laid there and he would have been okay with that. I know it sounds crazy and you still feel like it shouldn't be this way. However, I'm sharing this not because of how it should be, but because I'm simply stating how it is. This may appear as if I'm placing the onus of infidelity on our queens. However, I'm not justifying a man or woman stepping out. although this little gem, like it or not, will help a sister out, and especially your daughters if you teach them this. I am simply speaking to the reality of testosterone-filled men and the wives who smartly make sure their husbands are not leaving the house sexually frustrated with high testosterone levels. The husband receiving daily sex doesn't have to compete with his own nature when his sexy coworker makes her daily advances. If he cheats despite having regular sex with you, he just wanted to, and there's nothing you could have done. On the other hand, the good brother who accepts his once-a-week sex, if that, is sent out daily, testosterone levels through the roof, and expected to resist the sister who goes hard because she sees his faithfulness as a challenge. Queens, believe it or not, that good brother doesn't want to ruin, for example, 10 years of marriage, the equivalent of 3,650 days for one day of new pussy. Advice to men, even if you are married and can't openly agree with this post in front of your wife, please note that you can help your queen oblige you daily by being on point with completing your honey to-do list. You can't really expect your queen to work, maintain the house, and the kids with only a little help from you, plus provide frequent sex. Lastly, this is a two-way street, so if you're not satisfying your wife, she may become sexually frustrated, increasing her chances of infidelity. The most significant difference is that women are typically not driven by their nature to seek out sex. Her hormones, estrogen, usually do not control her in the same way our hormones, testosterone, control us men. This is why weak men assault women, but that's an entirely different story. Just my 3 cents. All I ask is that you think. Quick sidebar. I know plenty of queens are wondering what makes me think I'm qualified to write this post as a 48-year-old single brother who's never been married with no children. As a single brother who loves daily sex in a committed relationship, I spent several years afraid of marriage because so many brothers complained about limited or sexless marriages. I'm not trying to spark a marriage is not all about sex debate. I'm just sharing what I'm hearing from my married friends, some of which have cheated, most have not. As a matter of fact, a few have happily remarried, and they quite often add they enjoy sex more the second time around. I guess the second time they made sure they found a woman who doesn't let them leave home without it. So, Marilyn, I'll ask you the first discussion question again. This is from insert from an upcoming book, Reeducation of the Negro. And the first question is, what statement did you appreciate most and why out of that piece?
Definitely, I think emphasizing the importance of daily sex as much as possible. I know a lot of people, women in particular, hate to hear this. This is something that I talk to the mothers that I work with a lot, is as often as possible. It's not always possible. You know, life gets in the way. You have little children and so many other things. I've, you know, been there and experienced that quite often. But the intention of being willing and open to being able to have sex with your husband daily or as often as necessary is really, really important. I think it makes a huge difference in the level of connection and just the overall happiness within your marriage. You know, sex is important for all of us, but, you know, men are very much wired to be able to get to that point of connection through sex. It enhances it, I should say. But like I mentioned earlier, definitely men can help their wives be able to be more receptive to it through, you know, how they engage her in terms of intimacy not always being a sexual thing. So it's a give and take. And just like you mentioned with, you know, completing the honey do list and being a support to her around the home. But even beside that, you know, just because you finish the physical aspects or the tasks, you know, are one thing, but the emotional and mental side of it, when it comes to intimacy, is yet another thing that, you know, needs to be added there in order to make it more complete. I think it's really important that we're both kind of identifying the differences. You said it's really important. I think maybe you did say it in that piece, is that, you know, we're very different in the way that we're wired and how we, view and engage in intimacy, you know. So us being able to understand how that works for our partner and being able to give to them what they need in order to be, one, to be receptive to intimacy is really important.
So that, so I hope that kind of, you know.
No, that's, yeah, whatever you got.
Now, the question.
Yep, Sean, same question for you. Which statement did you appreciate the most and why?
Yeah, I like the part where you said about, and I never heard this, about if you're not going to give them none, you might as well be a nun. I thought that was catchy. I might have to share it on social media page.
Yeah.
It's true. It's very true, but I think, and as I'm listening, I listen to what Marilyn was saying about having your head on a swivel as a man and paying attention about what's going on around the house. I think that is very important. Instead of us having that tunnel vision, when we come home, we just want to sit in front of the TV as men. Pay attention to your surroundings, because I do believe, and the old pastor told me, he said, you got to prime the pump. You know, you got a good sex starts in the morning. You know, it starts throughout the course of a day, sending her a text message, or, and not just doing it just for sex, but just because you genuinely love her. And as I listened to the conversation, I realized that a lot of women and men, we have so much trauma that's in the body that we don't even address. And then we wonder why we can't have sex on a regular. You know, we don't discuss. I think this is why therapy is important, to unlock those traumas that we had. Oh, I was molested as a child, or I was raped when I was 16. And a lot of times your spouse don't know these things. Mm-hmm. And you can be in the bedroom and you wonder why you can't do certain things or stuff like that, because that brings up that trauma in her life. But he has no idea. And then she might not even trust him to be a safe place to tell her how she, what happened to her in her past. Because he might not be strong enough to handle that. So she feel like she's locked up where she can't say anything to anyone. And then they wonder why they can't have sex in the bedroom. But I think that's why therapy is important. And also, sex is, how many days a week you want to have sex is, it's subjective. It just depends on what both of you agree to. And I think that's important, is having an agreement. And we're going to have sex twice a week. You know, and stick to that. So that way we're both satisfied. We know what's going to go down. This is what we agreed on. And then both parties can be happy.
No, good point. And let me highlight this, speaking of the trauma, because we definitely, obviously, the way the question's worded, we're definitely in a sense coming from the woman's perspective. But to just highlight this, you know, with that trauma, hey, the reality, that trauma can, you know, it's happened to men as well. And obviously, just the way we're reared, we're going to be least to speak about it, but it could play a role and they'd be flip-flop. Where, you know, again, he's not sharing his issue. And again, it's not even something that we're conscious of, right? That's the issue with trauma. Trauma really, your brain works to block it out so that you can function. And so revisiting, you know, whatever the issue may be, even sexually to a degree, can be, you know, whether it be erectile dysfunction, again, just flipping the script real quick, even that can be related to a trauma, especially for younger, if it's a younger man and you just got married, that type of thing. It's some aspects of that could be related to a trauma that they're not dealing with, because the trauma could have happened at such a young age. And so just, you know, keep it in perspective that, you know, I love that point, Sean, the idea of therapy and how it can add. Marilyn, did you want to jump in? I heard you kind of play something.
Yeah, I think just to expound a little bit on what you're saying about how the trauma affects men, because a lot of the hypersexuality that you might see in men, where it seems like that's the only way that they know how to express anything, is through sex, it can be from trauma as well. You know, a lot of times young men who are sexually abused or assaulted at a young age, it can definitely trigger them into being, you know, super, you know, sexual and hyper-focused on sex. And that can affect, you know, our relationship deeply when, like I mentioned before, he's basically treating his wife like a sexual object, because that's the only way that he knows how to relate to, you know, a woman or another human being.
Yeah, and that could be the culture. It doesn't even have to be trauma. Like, I think about, you know, as a young man, even again, obviously we're talking about wives and husbands to a degree, but just to put it in perspective, in today's hypersexual society. So here's a way I can look back on it now as a 48-year-old man, but I can remember, in a sense, my first girlfriend in high school, I was adamant. She was a virgin as I was before, in a sense, before she had become my girl, if you will. And I remember being adamant as a high schooler with her, saying, hey,
because I have been kind of raised with that I don't want no girlfriend type thing in the hip-hop era, like, you know, hoes wasn't this, that kind of BS or whatever. But clearly you'll find the right woman, you'll put her on a pedestal and not see her like everyone else. But I definitely still made clear to her, you're not finna be my girlfriend. I don't have sex. Because I'm a single man. I can, you know, my thought was, as a, you know, as a young man, as a single man, I can, I'm going to go without sex from time to time because I don't have a girl. But once I got a girl, that made no sense to me. And she agreed with it. And we had sex daily. I now, you know, as a 48-year-old man and not until my 40s, I now subscribe to, you are single until you're married. But back then in the boyfriend-girlfriend, we considered we were together once we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And that's pretty much how I rocked all the way to my early 30s. If you were my girl, we had sex every day. And if not, several times a day, which we can get into this after the break. We're at the top of the hour. But another thing that happens with growing up in an era like that is, and I'm sure you mentioned this earlier, is just the idea of you're having this sex while you're single, while you're quote-unquote boyfriend and girlfriend. And once you get married and get these other duties, it gets in the way. And single people really sometimes have it confused about how much sex is even available in a work, even a good working marriage to a degree, if you will. But we are up against the break, so we'll be right back. You listen to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. Again, for the callers, if you're a new caller, you do have to press 1. I see somebody pressing 1. We'll get them in coming out of the break. All I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, talk, they still know it's me, because I look like money, man.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods and services through social media, meetup, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
Richard, do you think perhaps you work too much?
Oh, no, no. No, I work too. I do, but I come home from work, and I have to take care of the kids, and I have to take care of you. And frankly, I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Too tired to wear a nice pair of panties?
What's wrong with my panties?
They're huge. You know, the biggest thing on a pair of panties should be the tag. That's all I want to see. Tag an ass. Tag an ass.
See? You see? This is what I'm talking about. You see how insensitive he is?
You know, Brenda, maybe I'd be more sensitive if you'd have sex with me. It seems like the only time she wants to have sex with me is to make a baby.
The only time you want to make a baby with me is to have sex.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's because I'm tired.
Now we're making progress.
I hated that therapist. She wasn't married and didn't have any kids. You know, when you're on a plane, you kind of want a pilot with more experience than you. But maybe that's just me.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, special guest Marilyn Arduini, as well as Sean
Hyman from the Scary to Be Married podcast. This morning's discussion question, do wives see sex as a chore? As we hear a cool little cut from Chris Rock's I Think I Love My Wife. Some of you may recall that movie. We got a caller that wants to get in on this discussion, so I'm going to go ahead and jump to the caller real quick. Area code 678, last 3306. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion question.
Great morning. My name is Tennyson, and I'm calling from Atlanta. Now, to answer that that question, I enjoy the discussion. Very, very informative. I just believe that married couples aren't having sex. In a lot of cases, they are too exhausted, lack family boundaries, and are uncreative. You know, my married friends live through the lives of their single friends, and the COVID pandemic opened up that for me. I mean, you know, during the time of lockdown, I'm talking to my married friends, and they ask me what I'm doing, who I'm with, and I'm like, wait a minute here. I don't have anyone over here. It's a pandemic. You got your wife. You got your husband. What the hell is going on? So I think that's one of the big problem right there. And to be quite frank with you, I think it's important to, for not just married couples, but especially married couples, to explore likes and dislikes. A lot of people don't spend the time to masturbate and touch themselves and know what, you know, feel what feels good. And quite frankly, also, I think we should be willing to explore kinks and tantra and BDSM and all the likes of it, because you may be surprised. These things may open up a whole new world for you. And a lot of men, I will say, if you allow the woman to be herself, to be able to speak her truth without being judged, you'll be shocked to know the things that women like. And I think a lot of times you won't have to deal with the Madonna whore complex. You have everything right there, and that will open up a new world for you. And also, I think one of the things we haven't touched on since we have been discussing this topic is religion. Religion creates a lot of guilt in people, especially, I think, in women. And a lot of time it creates that sex is dirty and people deal with a lot of guilt and shame, and those things are going to prevent you from enjoying each other.
No, I love it. A lot of great thoughts. Let me throw this in real quick, Marilyn. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm going to keep Tennyson on for a second here. But just to highlight this, for those who know, I love researching and stats and stuff. So speaking of the pandemic, this is just kind of highlight what Tennyson just talked about. So speaking of the pandemic, here was a huge business miss in the condom industry, believe it or not. So because the pandemic, once it became real, the condom industry, they thought, man, let's ramp up productions of condoms or whatever. Like, for whatever reason, that was their mindset as an industry. They end up losing their ass on all these extra condoms because they was like, people are going to be having sex, but they didn't really put in perspective, one, how a lot of us single people, me being one, was locked in and didn't have access to as much sex as we like. And then married couples don't need condoms anyway. And then unfortunately, we did the show about what was happening during the pandemic. A lot of things didn't go well when people had to be at home every day, which highlights some of what Tennyson's talking about as well. So I just thought that was just a little added 3 cents that I wanted to add to what that brother had to say. But Marilyn, Tennyson brought a lot to the table. Your thoughts to what he had to say?
I think he definitely had some great points. I think we don't give a lot of space to be able to express ourselves sexually and really explore who we are, and that can cause a lot of, you know, friction in the marriage when we don't really, you know, feel comfortable being able to share that side of us within our marriage. I think a lot of times there are a lot of people who, a lot of married people who, you know, kind of live vicariously through their single friends, even though there's, you know, that's hugely problematic in and of itself. But once they kind of, like talking about the pandemic, once they kind of find themselves locked down and they're, you know, kind of forced to share space day in, day out with their partner, they don't have a lot to stand on because they've spent, you know, so much time not really understanding how to connect with each other or understanding who their partner is or their partner's needs. So, you know, not only was that a huge miss for the condom industry, it was a huge miss for a lot of married couples in terms of the opportunity to be able to seek that new way of connecting. It would have been a great opportunity for a lot of couples to enter into therapy, even if it was online, and do a lot of counseling and kind of, you know, heal whatever rift may have been ongoing. And there's some that did. You know, I work with several people who kind of, who the pandemic brought that into great relief, where they really saw that, wow, we don't know each other. We don't know anything. We're not even really having a good time together. How do we use this time to be able to really reconnect, you know? And it made it more, it brought a lot of things more so to the surface, where there were some couples, once they were locked down, they had all the kids in the house all day long, you know. Some of the husbands, unfortunately, were still operating in, you know, pre-pandemic mode, where you just kind of let everything fall on the wife, and she was handling all the school, and she was still doing everything in the house. And so it's just 24/7, not no kind of real relief. And so that exacerbated a lot of, you know, issues that were pre-existing in relationships, you know. So the pandemic brought a lot of things up for couples, you know, above and beyond sex. But, of course, everything going on that isn't, you know, sex itself impacts sex anyway. So when life is, you know, when life is not matching up in terms of our relationship, then it definitely affects the sex. And then it's like it's very cyclical.
Yeah, that's crazy when I think about what you're saying now. Like, you in the house all day together, and like you said, if one spouse is operating pre-pandemic, you looking at that person like, man, I ain't trying to do nothing with you. I'm so resenting you right now. The last thing I want to do is have you. I can see that. Sean, you know, we've mentioned dialogue, so we like to do things from both sides of it, if you will, King. Here's the thought I would love for you to address about what Tennyson said. And so, to a degree, the flip side of the day's culture is, in a sense, the idea of having so much sexual experience prior to marriage, whether male or female, to the degree that the thing, you know, whereas I love what Tennyson said, maybe you explore all these other aspects of sex that maybe you haven't explored, you know, especially quote-unquote married, if you're spending the rest of your life together. Well, the flip side of it is having a bunch of experiences prior to marriage, and now you can't be excited in the marriage with just, in a sense, maybe one per person, lack of variety, or your significant other won't do some of these things because you've had too much experience, if that makes sense. I've even heard Dr. Umar Johnson, of all people, mention that some years ago, where he was saying that while he, at the time when I heard him say this, advocates, in a sense, not necessarily having a bunch of sex prior to marriage, but he says, but if you have, then his idea was you better test it out prior, you know, go before getting into a marriage, because with a bunch of experience, you can even be more disappointed once you're married if you've had a lot of experience prior to marriage. Your thoughts on that, Keegan? I'll get one last thought for Tennyson before I let him go.
Yes, I totally agree. I do believe, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but I do believe the more, and this is different for all cases, but I do believe the more experiences you have, the lesser excitement it has going into marriage, because you've done everything. I do believe that marriage is an intimate piece, so this should be a safe place for you and I to explore, because we're in the confines of marriage. There's, you know, as I say, there's no infidelity, there's no cheating, there's trust, all these things that we have. So we should be able to be a freak towards each other. But the issue is we have so many experiences that by the time we get married, it's like, I'm cool on that. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You probably might be sexed out. You're like, I'm tired of, you know. And now you sitting in your mirror is like, well, this is, shoot, half of the reason I got married. So I think if we learn to kind of flip it on its head where, you know, because I know with the sexual liberation and everybody like doing what they want to do, and it's an unpopular opinion, but I think if we are a little more reserved, then especially if we do desire to marry, it's like, I'm going to save this for my wife or my husband, because, and even in my own personal experience, I always tell my wife, I tell her, I'm like, you're my dream woman, because I haven't racked up a lot of bodies for me personally growing up. So to me, I'm like, man, my wife is a superstar because I don't have a high body count. So to me, this is new. I'm just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know, but to each his own. Everybody had their own little tolerance level and stuff.
No, I love the last thought. Tennyson, we were up against the break, so I'll bring you on after the break, brother. But I love that last thought. I remember, again, we do all type of shows. I remember doing, like, for example, several polyamory shows or whatever, and I remember one of the sisters who advocates for polyamory in general. Hopefully most people understand poly, so there's a lot of different definitions within there. But I just remember her just really advocating all this exploration, obviously dealing, for her, it was dealing with more people, whatever. But I highlighted what you just said, Sean, was the idea of some of the old days where you would have a married couple with both necessarily, you wouldn't have a lot of bodies or some, you know, possibly even under religion advocated they both be virgins, if you will. But in the sense of that you don't know what you don't know. And those couples have been able to I've heard of these stories too, have been able to enjoy great sex, even if they wasn't doing a lot of what we've explored in a lot of positions, because that's all they know. So that's a perspective that I definitely love that you added to this conversation. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, Smith, where you find that Prince sign of the times on vinyl at? Real talk, you got a dope vinyl collection. What, you been collecting them like over the years or something?
No, actually, I just started my collection. But my man Tobago over at DBS Sounds, he be hooking me up. You remember DBS Sounds?
On the south side? They still around? I figured most of the record stores in Atlanta be closed by now.
Hey, vinyl is the new wave and DBS Sounds got the best collection in town. You can still go there and flip through vinyl. They still got CDs and mixtapes too. Let me check their IG page at DBS Sounds ATL. They still be having artists in stores and everything. Hey, you want to run by there?
Hey, man, I ain't got time right now. I got to go back to Cali tomorrow, but I might have to catch them next time I'm in.
Oh, nah, you good. Even when you get home, you can just shop at their online store at dbssounds.com. They'll ship directly to you anywhere in the country. Matter of fact, jump on dbssounds.com on your phone and order straight from there.
Word? Hey, I'm about to get my music game up. Hey, what's their address in case I get a chance to swing by there? I'm going to pick up that new Kendrick Lamar CD.
Oh, they at 6604 Highway 85, Riverdale, Georgia.
Bet.
Hey, how was work today? Anything happened?
Nothing much. Just work.
I'm not crazy. Would you tell your wife about Nikki? But I got to admit,
seeing Nikki got me to think, what would it be like to be single again? I mean, if I were single, I wouldn't do all that romance and flowers crap. If I was single again, I would get right to the point.
Excuse me, would you like to have sex with me?
Of course I would.
Well, come on!
When you're single, you're never at a loss for words.
Excuse me, can I bite your ass?
For $1,000.
No, come on, let's get biting, bitch!
When you're single, you have nothing to lose.
Come with me to a hotel right now.
I have an appointment.
Yeah, a pussy appointment.
When you're single, you're invincible.
Excuse me?
Get the fuck out of here.
When you're single, you're alone.
I'll fuck you.
And that's why I got married.
Another funny cut from I Think I Love My Wife with Chris Rock. The last part was a brother walking up to him and said, I got you. He's like, hey, I let me get out this single game. So as much as, if you will, Sean, you know, say, hey, at the beginning of the show, you talk about the single friends bragging about all the sex they're having and married couples or not or whatever, but there's a lot of people that end up in that position. The single thing ain't as fun. I can attest to that to a degree. I got Tennyson hanging on, so I'm going to give Tennyson any thoughts you want to give. Thank you, Kate, for giving us your 3 cents this morning that you want to add to anything you heard. Again, that's just a funny cut from I Think I Love My Wife. But thank you for calling in this morning. Go ahead, King. Let me bring you live real quick for your last thought here, brother. Go ahead. You're live, Tennyson.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's a funny movie. I want to say this. I do not think there's hope for everyone. And I do not buy into that idea that you can have too much sex or you can be too sexed out with too many bodies. I look at sex as eating. If you eat one type of food, yeah, you may get tired of eating certain food all the time. But there's an array of different food all over. I mean, you talk about Asian, African, you know, the list goes on and on. And within those cultures, there are different segment of food. And so sex is the same way. Yeah, if you're just going to do a missionary position or just explore one type of sex or just deal with insertion of a penis into a vagina, yes, that's going to happen. But it's more than that. It's so much more that you can do and you can explore. And so we don't need to be you may get two people get together and they both experience sexually. But when they start exploring other avenues, they'll be surprised. And not only that, this will be the first time that these two people having sex together. So there's a lot to learn and there's a lot to explore. Forget about what happened in the past. And I think that's one thing that men have to get past dealing with too. They're so hung up on. I could care less if I meet a woman and she has had 100 or 1,000 partners. What I care about right now is me and her getting together.
You by yourself with that one, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, Kim's by herself.
Her past is her past. I'm just trying to say.
Kim's by herself, Mom.
Hey, that is true. But I ain't messing with that one, brother.
Hey, you know, there's some people who are just sexually
you by yourself,
active
and
they
man,
enjoy
but
sex.
By yourself.
But real quick, I want to make one correction, and I don't think my brother meant to say what he said. I just remember when the brother said about African women. I would have rather him to say women in Ghana because, you know, Africa is a continent. You know, we're talking about 54 countries, so I don't want somebody to leave this conversation
right,
thinking all African women are like this or all African men are like this.
Well, let me throw this out. You know, I always message you on this. Humans speak in generalizations, so I know the brother didn't mean all, you know what I mean? I always like to highlight that because I think it just things get lost when people jump to extremes. But I definitely respect and I definitely
care
more importantly, I love that, you know, again, you knowing that, brother, that we do speak of the continent via countries. And that's just something that we all should learn just on a higher dialogue level. We shouldn't speak to the continent, you know, as if it's a country, because it is the only continent in which we do that, and that was given to us by someone, and so it is always smart, and that's why I love more so that you highlight it, to speak to a country versus the continent, so I like that even more. But thank you for your 3 cents this morning, Tennyson.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, absolutely. For the callers out there, if you want to join like Frank and Tennyson did, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. I want to highlight, I got a lot of comments leading up to this show, and I wanted to highlight some of those comments and get both of your thoughts on it. Let me find them real quick here. All right. Here we go. So here's some of the comments I got leading up to this show that I thought was interesting, because here's something that I had no idea was going to happen. So as I was preparing for the show, and one of the I kind of created a couple of other questions, which is something I quite often do to promote the show. And so one of the things I wrote to promote the show was the concept of I have heard, which I really heard this in real life, I've heard several women tell me that sex once a week is enough within their marriage and that their husband should be fine with that. And I also highlighted that I've heard men in my life complain about only having sex once a week. And so I put that out there, and I got a lot of comments. I had no idea, and this is very interesting to me, and I'd be very interested in your thoughts on this, Marilyn, but I had no idea that somehow that promotion actually, for some people, turned into a gender war conversation that we quite often talk about on this show. And I wanted to share a couple of these thoughts because it was so interesting to me, and again, because I was only thinking from a marketing standpoint, maybe I'm not understanding how people view that, be promoting it via saying that. I'm not quite understanding how people view this, but here's a couple of thoughts that I got in reference to, again, a post where I just simply said, I hear from several women that once a week is enough and that men complain about it. And one brother wrote this in reference to me saying that. Silly girl, the human race cannot sustain itself off of sex once a week. And you wonder why men have thousands of sperms and are polygamous by nature. Marilyn, I was at a loss to a degree. He was
responding to a degree. I will be fair. I'm not saying it was just a standalone comment. So I want to be a little fair to the person that wrote this. But even still, I was, in a sense, a little shocked that today's conversation got thrown in that rev. I have a couple more comments that prove that it got thrown into the gender war perspective. But any thoughts to hearing that comment based on today's show and the idea that men were complaining about this?
I mean, I'm definitely not surprised that men were complaining about it. And honestly, I feel like just about everything can be thrown into the gender war perspective these days. It's very prevalent, and a lot of people, but this topic in particular, it can be very triggering, you know, particularly because of a lot of the disconnect that I mentioned earlier. One thing that I didn't get to say earlier is that I feel like a lot of us enter into a marriage, and, you know, you're always going to hear me talk from the perspective of marriage because that's, you know, where conversation, anything that happens before that, really, I feel like we're kind of spinning our wheels anyway, you know. But within marriage, we enter into it without an understanding, you know. I've told you before that my husband and I, when we got married, we had an agreement. You know, we talked about everything. We laid it all out, what our, you know, needs, our desires, love languages, anything that you could possibly think was something that could come up in marriage, you know. And we both, of course, had the perspective of having previous marriages. So, but then just from, you know, understanding and learning the dynamics of relationships. I'm sorry, getting a little bit of a scratchy throat, but just in understanding the dynamics of marriage in general, we tried to think about everything that could possibly, you know, be an issue within marriage. And we laid out our expectations and we agreed on what we were each okay with and comfortable with, what we each expected. And we do our best every day to live in alignment with that agreement. And we adjusted where needed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that's one of the big issues is that we enter into it just kind of like we just kind of wing it. You know, we don't have an understanding, we don't have an agreement, and we think that we're just going to walk into this, you know, huge undertaking that is marriage without really having something to work off of. We have no education, we have no support. And I mentioned before that I think it's so important to have, you know, counselors and coaches or anything. You know, we employ, you know, support in terms of coaching and teachers in so many other areas of our lives except our marriages. You know, we just want to run in there and wing it. And then, you know, we end up having these really bitter experiences because we didn't prepare ourselves, you know. And so I for me, for that, I think that sounds like a lot of I don't want to just kind of throw the word around bitterness, you know, but that's because we're left with a bad taste in our mouth from marriage and relationships, you know. I'm not surprised that, you know, it became a gender war because we tend to kind of not really take the relationships and the marriages that we're going into seriously enough to really to make these agreements and really understand well enough what we're entering into. So that's just my thoughts on it.
No, it makes sense. And I, you know, and like to Sean's point, Sean said, hey, you know, whatever a couple agrees to, it kind of has to work between them. But Sean, you hear how to a degree this brother took the dialogue and immediately threw it into the context that men are naturally polygamous. So these women out here only giving sex once a week are crazy. Like he got thrown into that context due to, I would say, like, Marilyn's saying to a little bit of the bitterness, or we've gotten to this stage where we see this on social media. I'm like, how did this show get thrown into the gender war? But I get where it's coming from once I see it. Like, you know, men have thousands of sperm and are polygamous by nature, which I directly dialogue and, you know, and kind of broke this down, like, brother, you're going too far, if you will. But you know, it's crazy that we can be triggered. And the point of me talking about this is that people are triggered to the point where there's an aspect of we're not entering marriages and relationships due to all of these prior triggers that even this question could trigger this stuff. So I wanted to get your ideas. I got another couple of thoughts, a couple of comments I want to share as well, but I wanted to get your thoughts before I share those.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the way we were trained, again, before getting married. Because men, you got to have self-control. You know, it's like you can't be a hoe for 25 years and then you find a woman of your dreams, you know, throwing out my air quotes, and then y'all get married and just expect for your wholeness to disappear. Like, I think people think wedding rings give them superpowers. And that's not the case. Like, you have to give yourself a season, some time to get that stuff off of you and know that marriage is a commitment. So when people, they find, oh, my husband or my wife was cheating or whatever, well, yeah, if they've been trained for 20 years to think one way and think that's going to change overnight, they're going to be sadly disappointed.
Nah, it makes sense. We are up against the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Do you need marketing designed specifically to compete in today's digital age? Well, look no further than Emoreg Digital Business Solutions, a marketing agency that's well-equipped to provide solutions to the challenges faced by businesses looking to acquire and retain customers in today's ultra-competitive marketing world. Whether it's video creation, website or logo design, mobile app development, social media and email marketing, or e-commerce design and development, Emoreg Digital Business Solutions has the answer. Visit them at emoregdbs.com. That's EmoregDBS.com. Or call 864-221-3632. That's 864-221-3632. Emoreg Digital Business Solutions. We're the solution to your marketing challenges.
Richard, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, honey, what are you doing home so early?
Where are the kids?
I just dropped them off at my mother's house. Hey, you're scaring me. What's going on?
I missed you.
I miss you.
What's happening to us?
I don't know. I feel like it's my fault that we're not as close as we used to be.
It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do. Is it too late?
I don't know.
You know, baby, I just want to tell you how sorry I am for being so cold. It's not like I don't like being married. It's just that sometimes I feel like the walls are closing in on me.
Now hold on 1 minute. Whatever you did to yourself. Because I've been running around here trying to make a nice life for us, taking care of the kids, being every woman. But lately, you've been cold as ice, so cold.
So have you.
I'll grow up.
You know it's true.
Look, I know none of this is easy, but I miss us. I miss what we had. I miss it to the core, and I just need to know. How come we don't fuck anymore?
You the one on strike.
It's been a mighty long time.
You out of your fucking mind.
Definitely.
Baby, I still want you. And I've wanted you for so long. But every time I touch you, you act like I did something wrong.
No,
yes, you do. I don't want to leave.
Neither do I. I told you they're gone.
In that case, we should be making love.
A cool little movie. I think I love my wife, Chris Rock. This morning's discussion question, do wives see sex as a chore? Our special guest, Raila Nardwuini, cognitive behavior therapist, as well as Sean Hyman, host of It's Scary to Remarry, as we've been having an interesting dialogue. If you want to join us, please, last 30 minutes, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, 646-787-1691. Loving this discussion. And it goes to, it's a two-way street, absolutely, as I think we've delved into it from many perspectives. But any thoughts that are maybe looming or that y'all are thinking about that we haven't brought to the table? I know, Marilyn, you love to talk solutions, so maybe this is a good time to move into some of that conversation, some of those perspectives, again, with you being a cognitive behavior therapist, and there's so many moving parts with how we could have mm-hmm. issues. Matter of fact, let me throw this out, because mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier in my piece, literally being afraid of sexual compatibility from the standpoint of, as a single person, having had experiences, and I love how Sean even brings it from the male perspective that you know, having discipline even as men, because obviously the world pushes us away from it, right? And so when mm-hmm. I would hear men warn me, you're not going to have that much sex, and again, we don't have a good perspective quite often as single people. Even when I was having a lot of comments on this show, I remember one of the brothers said, this person must be single, because a lot of the single people, well, one sister said, yeah, we have the sex every other day. I don't even want to get married. Like, she took it that far, right? Or whatever. It's just the perspective of not having in a marriage and having to have those responsibilities and those duties. So we're just really delusional, and it plays a big role in how sexual compatibility, which I think as single people we all place high, and then mm-hmm. when that part is not good in a marriage, I've seen it ruin marriages. Your thoughts, Queen?
So I believe you're absolutely right, and in terms of solutions, I think that one thing that I definitely suggest and that I've seen work wonders for a lot of the couples, and people think that most of the time that it can only ever be when both people are, you know, going to therapy and doing all this work. I think it's important for both people to do that, but many times the tide can be turned just by a shift in one person's thought process and one person's behavior. And those are the two pieces of cognitive behaviorability, is to kind of make the connection of what are the ways that you're thinking about something and what that are creating behaviors, and what can you do behaviorally to change it? Or what can you do in terms of your thinking and as well as your behavior to change the situation that you find yourself in? And one person can start to create that shift. And again, I harp on all the time, is that when you identify the problems and the behaviors that are creating the problems, it's to have an agreement first with yourself and then ideally with your spouse, an understanding of what your needs are, and communicating those things. And one thing that I can say for me, and that I see it creating that shift in marriages, personally in my marriage, because of the things that I learned and were able to apply, and we were able to apply together, and it's 3 years of marriage, we've never actually had an argument, you know, never an argument between us, because we established along the ways how we've had disagreements for sure, but we've never, you know, had an argument, because we established from the beginning how we were going to handle disagreements and what, and also approaching everything as a team, that we're in it to solve a problem together. The problem is not, we aren't the problem, you know, we're a team, and we want to see our marriage succeed. So what can we do together to be able to solve the problem and not fight against each other? So that's first and foremost, and having that agreement in place. And
let me jump in right here, because I love what you're saying here. This is all good. I want to add some thoughts that I think, again, if you listen to the top of the hour, we don't dialogue just to dialogue. It's dialogue and connect. Hopefully you get some feeds. And I'm just kind of sharing that with the audience, especially first-time listeners. But if I could jump in and even add this to what you said, I love, you know, where you're going with this. But just to even put the earlier part of the show in a little more context. So in the first hour, in the latter part of the first hour, I was highlighting even the science, right, to the oxytocin. And there was one thing that the psychologist said in that situation was, that all these other ways that you can, in a sense, create oxytocin, get that feeling of bonding and connection, there's all these other ways to do it, because he highlighted that, he said, as time goes on, often couples become less intimate. And so he mentioned the concept of it decays the relationship. And so to point out as you said, even one person, even if you don't get a chance to get all this therapy, if you will, how one person can change it. It reminded me of this article I read years ago that blew my mind, and it was this lady who wrote an article about how daily sex changed her marriage and saved her marriage, and she became very intentional. And I'm really trying to make all this come together full circle. But in that article, what she highlighted was, and this makes sense, how, one, you can get busy. One, if one person has a level of resentment, or like you said, a woman's kind of overwhelmed to the point, or vice versa, the man can be overwhelmed. Because, again, it ain't just women that refuse sex in marriages. I know that firsthand from, you know, talking to some couples. But with that said, even if it's one person that's kind of overwhelmed and it becomes natural to not feel like it, it becomes a chore in the negative sense of the word. There's all these variables that can move couples away from having more intimacy. And I'm highlighting it when we're talking about a solution, just from the standpoint of that article, which what she said was, just by being intentional about becoming intimate every day. The article she wrote that they was on the verge of divorce. And she said that the sex alone, and being intentional about having it every day, changed their lives. Because imagine you're actually having not only intimacy, but the oxytocin is being added. And I can see how, whereas a couple that has, you know, that has an argument, doesn't have these agreements in place like what you're talking about, Marilyn, how the arguments can drive them through a cold period. But I always say, how long can you really be mad with somebody you fucking? Like, how long can you really be mad?
I mean, it's true. And I was actually, this is interesting that you asked that, because I was asked, yeah, because one of the things I was going to say is, going back to what we originally were talking about in terms of the chore or the responsibility aspect of sex in marriage is exactly that. Is, like, let's say cleaning. You know you got to clean your house, right? And everybody doesn't love doing the dishes and everything else. But sometimes in order to make it something that you can do, you got to work, get yourself up to that mode, you know what I mean? And you got to turn on some music and make it fun, you know, the best way that you can. So you do the same thing when it comes to sex in your marriage. You can, you know, may not be in the mood every day, but like you said, that's a great word, is becoming intentional about realizing that it's important. It's an important thing that has to happen to keep the wheels turning in your marriage, to keep the connection there. And it's an important thing for men to be able to open them up to a higher level of intimacy. So if I, as the woman, can say, okay, I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to be intentional about us having sex, whether it's daily or as often as possible, then that can definitely turn things around. Sometimes if your husband's already kind of locked into, oh, well, you know, and sometimes they're already secretly sometimes feeling bitter about the fact that there is not enough sex in the marriage, being able to, you open the door to higher levels of communication by just being intentional, as she said, about having sex. Because men, that is an emotional doorway for them to be able to, you know, to have that release and everything, and they bond with you better in that way and are more open and vulnerable with you once you have sex, you know. So that's why they call it pillow talk sometimes, that, you know, you have sex and then suddenly he's able to tell you everything that's going on and open up to you, and you can actually have a real dialogue. So I think that's absolutely an important perspective, and it's one way that, you know, as the wife, you can definitely move things forward and improve the situation, is just by choosing for yourself to get in that mindset and become intentional about, you know, making sex a priority. And sometimes that means you got to tell him, hey, I need help with this so that I can be ready for this later on. But you know he wants it, you know, and that's a great motivator to say, okay, well, if he can help me do this, that, and the other, I'm definitely going to be ready for this later on. So that's just, you know, some additional thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm single. I ain't never been married. But, you know, as a single man, like I said, with a girlfriend, I can definitely say yes a whole lot more after some sex. But I may have said, had I had a chance to think about it, and I wouldn't get none. You know what I'm saying?
And
Sean,
Michael,
you're a husband here, so jump in and tell me again. I'm the delusional single guy who ain't had the thing, had to figure it out on your level, but I'm pretty sure your wife got a couple yeses out of you that you might, if you had to think about it prior to some sex, you might have said no. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, and I tell brothers too, man. I always tell them that you know the sex is better when you do what you need to do around the house to get things done.
You know what I'm saying? So I know my wife like a clean house. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying I clean house just to get sex, but it's a part of my regimen. So when, especially when I'm off work, I'm making sure that I'm taking as much stuff off her plate as possible. And it doesn't always have to lead to sex. It's just because that's what I do. So with that being said, there's days when I'm just like, we can get it in. And she's like, for sure, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because you got to pay attention to what's going on around the house, like Marilyn said. And also I would like to add, too, that we have to have boundaries. And I think women might struggle with boundaries more with men. And when I'm saying boundaries, I'm saying in the sense of those who she might be connected to, whether if that's friends, family, stuff like that, having boundaries. Like, you know, girl, this is me and my husband's date night. Or, you know, past 8:30, I ain't taking calls. You know, just having these kind of boundaries in place so people can honor your marriage, so you can have that safe place that if y'all do want to have sex, y'all know y'all good, opposed to people just coming and going whenever they want to and calling all the time. You know what I'm saying? So when people respect
everybody,
that,
right? Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Everybody starts to respect that. So before they call you with all their craziness and their drama, they think twice mm-hmm. before they call, because they like, nah, she ain't going to answer the phone because she said don't call after 9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that makes sense. Let me bring in a couple more of these thoughts that I got. I kind of did these out of order, but it's worthy of talking about. So one of the comments I got preparing for this show was from one of our longtime listeners, Duane. He said, this is crazy. Him and his wife, they've been guests on my show, have a wonderful marriage. And we've highlighted their marriage, just talking about they've been married maybe 20 years at this point, maybe 21, and just highlighted the ups and downs of their marriage on a previous show. But when he saw the post for this show talking about, you know, in a sense, once a week is considered enough, he said, this is crazy. We do it at least 3 to 4 times a week. We've been at this for 20 years, too. Who in the world made these stats? And he was highlighting your stat, Sean, where you said, hey, the average is once a week, which is the average around the country. But, hey, he's in that group of, you know, the anomaly where they 20 years, they 3 to 4 times a week. He's like, this is crazy. And his one sister, Tamika, said, your wife definitely wasn't in my survey pool where I said I heard from these women that once a week is enough. And she was like, his wife definitely wasn't in the survey pool. He's right about that. But again, there's couples out there doing that as well. I don't know if there's anything to take from that, but again, that was just a response to what you had posted, Sean. Any thoughts to hearing this brother say, this that is crazy. Once a week makes no sense. They 3 to 4 times a week for 20 years straight. That's crazy. And we shouldn't think of it as crazy, right? Like, it's backwards. That's crazy versus it being the norm. You got in-house pussy, to put it in the context of the hip-hop community, right? You got in-house pussy. How are y'all not having sex every day? Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Montoya, I seen that. I was like, yeah. And again, I think he's an anomaly, and I think that's what happened when because we always like to compare ourselves to anomalies. Oh, Jay-Z and Beyonce did it, or Russell and Sierra did it, but they're anomalies. All of us aren't anomalies. So a lot of times we try to live up to anomalies when we're not that. And then we get frustrated. You have to know what works best for you and your marriage. Like, for me, Montoya, I know I can have sex 4 to 5 times a week if I wanted to. But you know what? Out of honor and respect to my wife, and because I have a certain amount of self-control, I'm good with 2 days a week. I just need you to be a freak twice a week, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So everybody needs to know their level and not be in comparison to others, because that's when your marriage gets frustrated and you start, you know, they say comparison is the thief of joy. So you have to know what works best for you.
No, I love it. Actually, I'm going to pass the break.
Absolutely.
So let me last breakout, and then we'll come to some conclusions for the rest of this show. Thank you. I will be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Are you intimidated by money? While this is a question most people never think to ask themselves, but when forced to think about it, many people realize they have unrecognized fears that truly affect how they deal with money. If you want to learn more about money and the fears that keep you from prosperity, join us for Making Money Matter Monday, where money meets mental health with personal finance coach Ashley Thomas and psychotherapist Dr. Katrina Pitts.
Every second Monday of the month, find out if you're intimidated by money, what to do about it. To receive a link to this free Zoom event, please DM the Making Money Matter or the Mental Dialogue Instagram pages or contact 404-604-9477.
Making Money Matter Mondays, August the 8th, this coming Monday, if you have issues with credit cards, and not just the credit cards themselves, learn the techniques to help you with that. But if you're in a situation with credit cards, it have you stressing in life, again, this Making Money Matter Mondays is where money and mental health meet. Highly encourage you to find us on IG, mental_dialogue. And DM if you would like to attend this free Zoom. Thanks to our sponsors. We do those every second Monday. These have been wonderful. We've been helping people really connect those two issues. A lot of mental health issues play a role in how you deal with money, and Making Money Matters with Ashley Thomas and psychotherapist Katrina Pittman will help you with those issues. So find me personally, Montoya Smith, on Facebook or Mental Dialogue on Facebook or mental_dialogue, and DM me to be a part of those days. This morning's discussion question, do wives see sex as a chore? Special guests, Marilyn Arduini, cognitive behavior therapist, and Sean Hyman, host of It's Scary to Remarry. Want to share this one other thought before we come to our conclusion this morning. We don't have a lot of time left here. But here was another thought that was shared that I thought was interesting. This one sister, Tamika, she flipped my question a little differently that I used to promote it. I thought this was interesting, so I want to hear y'all thoughts on it. And it's worth exploring. Again, thank y'all for all of your input and being on the show this morning. But she said, after seeing what I wrote and seeing a lot of responses, she put this up on her page, and I thought this was interesting. She said, some wives are saying sex once a week with their husband is sufficient. And she said, if you don't like your husband, just say that. I was like, ooh. Ooh, Marilyn, your thoughts? Because again, she flipped what I said into that. When she saw what I said, she flipped it into that, and I was like, "Woo!"
She makes a point, and you know, not in the same words. I have made similar points to some of the women that I work with, and one thing is if you as much as you want your husband to understand your nature and your needs, you need to also understand his nature and his needs. And sex is an important one. And so we can't really, it's got to be a give and take, you know. And I'll say this along the lines of what Sean mentioned earlier and what you were saying before the break is that it definitely depends on, we can't compare ourselves to other people's marriages, you know. My husband and I, we definitely get it in. There's some weeks that we don't miss a day, and then there are days, weeks when it's just maybe a couple of times, you know. And one thing that I deeply appreciate, and I think it's so important, is as when I talk about my husband reading the room, he definitely is good at that, but we have to do so as women as well, you know. My husband, he walks in, you know, on a, if he knows that I'm overwhelmed that day or if I'm sick, there's times when he's just not going to ask because he's highly considerate what I'm dealing with and how I feel. And we both want to enjoy it, you know. He knows that I won't say no. For the most part, I don't think I ever have, you know. But he has, you know, he's in tune enough to be able to say, okay, this might not be a good time, you know, for me to even make that move. And there's, in the same way, when I know that, okay, it's been a little minute and we haven't done anything and I'm sure he's being considerate of me, I need to also be thinking and making sure that he is having his needs met, you know. So I think it's definitely a two-way street. If you love your husband and you do everything that you can to make sure that his needs are being met and understanding his language, same thing that we want for them. So I think she makes an excellent point. You know, it stings a little bit and it comes off, you know, in a way that can make you feel a way, but I definitely think that she has a point.
Dr. Boyce Watkins, if you're familiar with him, he did a quick comment on this morning's show, and he said that if sex is bad, couples might have sex only once a week. That was just kind of his thoughts to this morning's show. Sean, any thoughts to what Dr. Boyce you know, had to say about it, say, hey, if sex is bad, once a week may be quite the norm. You know, again, that was just a quick 3 cents he gave me on the IG page this morning. Any thoughts to that?
I think it's true, considering from statistics. I just think we live in an age where we give so much of our time to other people, and we kind of live, I won't say intentionally, where we just do stuff mindlessly. I mean, if you think about how much we're on our phones, we're overworked, we are over-socialized, rarely do we focus on our home where we cut the world out. There's so much of us that we give away looking for approval that we don't have time for sex. We don't have time for the basic things in our everyday life. So, you know, of course, people are going to be stressed out. Of course, you get sex once a week. And then we ain't even talking about people who got, you know, somebody else in their bed, or they playing musical mattress with other people. You just never know. So I think if we learn to prioritize and we be intentional every day when we wake up, we can see some change in society.
Now, I love it. Let me throw this out, Marilyn, from a perspective, and I kind of mentioned this in the piece, like even Sharon Love, what my friend, sister, I consider my sister, what her father told her about, if you're not going to give a nun, you might as well become a nun. And it highlights to me the aspect that, at least this is what I've heard, at least in the past, and I've definitely heard this within some African cultures. I don't know if you're familiar with, well, I'm pretty sure you'll be familiar with this, but I know even currently within not just African culture, but other cultures around the world as well, where marriage is a high priority in a lot of cultures, then there are aspects of where the elders, whether it be the women, if you will, really trying to delve into preparing a woman for sex. So versus having that, just that complete negative connotation to where it affects your sex in a bad way, there's also cultures in which the women do school the daughters on, okay, you're married now, here's how you take care of your husband, don't refuse him, don't tell him no. That I think that I wrote from a, being growing up in the South, from a perspective where women were quite often told not to tell their husband no. Obviously, if you're not growing up in a family structure, those things are not happening anymore. But what are your thoughts to even the next generation kind of grooming you to have a successful marriage, even down to talking about sex? What are your thoughts on that real quick?
I'm so glad that you brought that up. When it was mentioned earlier, I meant to circle back to it and say that I very much agree that there, you know, in as much as there are cultures that, you know, put this negative connotation about sex in young women, there are many who do quite the opposite. Now, they encourage young women to preserve it for marriage and for that safe space, but they teach them and prepare them. And this is something that I had definitely the benefit of from a number of women in my life. Right. You know, my aunts, you know, my mother to a great extent will tell you, you know, just, you know, some of them, you know, they had different reasons and motivations for why they encourage you not to deny your husband sex. But for the most part, you know, it was the idea of knowing this was a healthy part of marriage and that it was important, you know, to give it that space of priority. So, and even, you know, as far as there are cultures where you definitely have women who will teach you different techniques and all different kinds of things on how to take care of your husband. And the same thing goes for men. They're being prepared for marriage because it has such a high priority and people understand the importance that it holds in, you know, in the future generations and how, you know, generational success happens is when you have happy, healthy marriages, you know. So that's definitely important. And it's something that I'm actively doing with my own daughter. I have a teenage daughter and, you know, I do things in age-appropriate ways, but you prepare them going forward to understanding, you know, what is key in marriage and how to approach, you know, their sexuality and to understand that sex is a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's nothing dirty about it. You know, it's important for you to have, you know.
Let me do this real quick, Queen. I love those thoughts. Great. I think it's a great way to conclude the show. But let them know how they can stay in contact with you, and I need to be able to do the same thing for Sean. So give them any information, and then we'll let Sean give out his information before we go. But thank you. An amazing show.
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook at Marilyn Audouin, O-D-U, E-N-Y-I, as well as the Peaceful Black Mama. You can use that anywhere online. It's thepeacefulblackmama.com, as well as the Peaceful Black Mama on IG and Clubhouse. So anywhere that you can find me, the Peaceful Black Mama or Marilyn Aldoini.
All right, Sean, thank you so much. Great conversation this morning. Let them know how they can stay in contact with us, Mary. It's Scary to Remarry podcast and any other way they can follow you.
Yes, if you just Google It's Scary to Remarry, I'll pop up. You'll find me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those good sites. So It's Scary to Remarry. Follow me there. Thanks, Montoya.
All right, we'll see y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think. Making Money Matter Mondays. DM me if you want to be a part of that great discussion. See y'all next week. All I ask is that you think.
Thank you.